For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Letting Go of Old Stories, Part 2. Last session, we talked about letting go of stories. We focused in on noticing the story arising and how meditation helps train us to notice the stories arising. We talked about changing the focus of our attention, and we used the body scan to train us to change the focus of our attention from one thing to another without pushing something away, just changing the focus and letting it fade into the background. And we talked about investigating the story, which is very different than ruminating about the story. When we're investigating, we're not being a detective about who did what and who's to blame and who's at fault and what should people have done. We're going underneath the story to say, what are the feelings under the story that I need to take care of? And what do I need to make myself a life around whatever wound the story might have caused for me? Today, we're going to go through the next three steps, which is letting go of the story, rewriting the story, and then starting to live the new story. So we'll start with letting go. And Michael Singer says, and this is a lot easier said than done, he says, just open, relax your heart, forgive, laugh, or do anything you want. Just don't push it back down. It was stored with pain, it's going to release with pain. It only hurts for a minute, and then it's over. When a story hurts you, if you attach to it and carry it around, it hurts you over and over and over again. Every time you think of it, it hurts you again. Believe it or not, neurologists found that the physiological lifespan of emotion is 90 seconds. So if you let go of the story, the uncomfortable sensations of that emotion are going to dissipate in 90 seconds. The emotion lasts longer when we keep replaying the story, because every time we replay the story, we restart the 90-second clock. I've heard it said that your capacity to let go equals your capacity to be free and happy. So if a story isn't serving you, let it go. Each time you replay the story, you strengthen the neural pathways, making it harder to let it go. Sometimes we hold on to stories because we fear what we'll lose if we let go. We feel like we're going to lose something. In my example of the story of letting go of the story that my dad thought I wasn't good enough, I had to knock him off the pedestal of being perfect. And that's a hard thing to do. My new story was that he was proud of me and trying to motivate me, but not in the most skillful way. And I tell you, I still kind of feel guilty when I think of he did it maybe in the not most skillful way, like I'm not supposed to think that of him. So it's really hard to let go of our stories. Denise Hamilton says, and I think that old stories don't release us easily. Not we release them. The stories don't release us easily. They shape us. And so when someone comes along and says, hey, this thing you believe, it's not really true. It's not 100% accurate. There's a grief associated with that loss. And she was in a conversation with Adam Grant when she said that, and his response was, it's funny that you say that, because as you're talking about the grief associated with letting go of an old story, I'm thinking about what is the most highlighted sentence in his book, Think Again, which is, you are, who you are is not a question of what you believe. It's a question of what you value. And I think people are making a fundamentalist mistake if they start to take an opinion, a story, as part of their identity. They've robbed themselves of the opportunity to grow and evolve. And I know that for a lot of my life, I took my stories as my identity. And that did rob me of the opportunity to grow and to evolve. Some of our stories limit us. We stay attached to them because they're familiar. If we want to move past the limits the story places on us, we have to let it go. If the story is no longer true, we can rewrite it. However, if the story is true, we have to accept it, we have to forgive ourselves, and we have to build our life around that wound. It's a lot easier said than done because, as Michael Singer says, unfortunately, we're not really trying to be free of our stuff. We're trying to justify keeping it. And that really resonated with me because I try to justify keeping old stories all the time. And it just makes it harder to let things go. There are many things in your life that bind you to that story. You've got family, you've got friends, you got coworkers. All of them are trying to keep you from breaking free, because if you break free, that means they probably have to change too, and they don't want to. And so you can just thank them for trying to keep you safe. But at the same time, create some boundaries. Because if we don't create boundaries, those stories are going to just keep reenacting over and over again. We're going to be living our old story if we don't set boundaries. So the boundaries we set are to keep from reinforcing or living the old stories. And if setting boundaries doesn't work with a particular person, you may have to distance yourself from them in some way, shape, or form in order to let go of a story. You know, I could have never let go of a story while I was married to my ex, because those stories were stories that were between us, and I don't think it would have happened. But after getting divorced and a lot of work, I've been able to let go of a lot of stories. Again, Denise Hamilton says, we organize around our stories. So if I have a fundamental belief that water is wet, and I've aligned myself with a bunch of people who think water's wet, and then someone comes along and says, actually, water can be steam, it can be ice, then I have to decide what my connection is to all these other people. It's not as certain, it's not as sure. And another thing that I know I don't like, and I'm assuming you don't like, is uncertainty. We like to know what's what. And with our old stories, we kind of put them in black and white, and this is how it is. And when we let go of that story, we are for a period of what is true? What is real? So letting go is not a passive practice. Think of the story as a ball that you're trying to throw away. And unfortunately, there's a dog, the part of you that's not ready to let the story go, that keeps retrieving that ball and bringing it back. And you can throw it again because you already know how to throw it. And you can do it over and over, improving your throw and lessening the impact that story has on you. Our old stories are going to come up again and again. And if we let them play out, the neural pathways are going to strengthen. Practicing meditation is going to help you to notice when the story comes up a little quicker. It's amazing how much faster I realize, oh, there's that story again that was totally unconscious before I started meditating. And each time you interrupt the story, you weaken the neural pathway. And that's what we want to do. We want to let the neural pathways atrophy so that story doesn't have such a hold over us. The stories may never go away completely, but if you keep practicing, they no longer limit your life. So we just have to keep on letting go and letting go. Alex Ellie says, many of us have been holding on to old versions of ourselves because we don't know where to put them. Our emotional suitcases are so full, there's no room for change because there's no space. So if we want to change, we have to let the story go so that there's room for change. And once we do that, we can start by rewriting our story. If we want to rewrite our story, we have to be conscious of the story. And often, instead of rewriting it, we ruminate. I coulda, shoulda, woulda done this. As if thinking the next time we replay that story, the ending is going to be different. The ending is not going to be different. We can't rewrite our old chapters. The only chapters we can write are future chapters, because we can't change the past. But we can explore the story and make sure we're telling it in a more positive, empowering way. Because a lot of our stories are limiting us because we put them in such a way that downgrades us, that makes us tense and makes us defensive. And toddlers don't learn to walk by beating themselves up when they fall down. We can't learn new skills by beating ourselves up either. Alex Ellie says, it's important for me to center what I know to be true, not what I hope to be true, not what used to be true, but what I know to be true right now. So I'm a big believer in shifting the trajectory of our thought process with the words we tell ourselves. Shift the trajectory of your thought process with the words we tell ourselves. If we're telling ourselves these negative stories or playing things in our mind that are causing us more stress than ease, that's going to break us down. And I've been there. It's hard to reframe and think, hey, that is not the truth right now. So that's why it's important to be kind to ourselves as we work our way through the stuff that's really hard. And we all have stuff we need to work through that's hard, maybe not really hard, and maybe we shouldn't start with the really hard stuff. But we want to start, but there is a lot of hard stuff in our stories that we need to let go of. And the thing is, sometimes we think, okay, I need to rewrite my story. We often do this when we create a New Year's resolution. I need to change, and this year I'm going to do A, B, C, and D. And we rewrite the whole story, and it's so big and so overwhelming that we can't do it. But we don't have to rewrite the whole story. All we have to write is the next paragraph, or maybe the next chapter. But we gotta start small. As you rewrite the story, you have to begin to consciously look for evidence that supports that story. So when I rewrote the story about my dad and not being enough, when I rewrote the story that he was just trying to motivate me and he was proud of me, I had to consciously look for evidence to support that story. I had to listen to my sisters when they said, you were dad's favorite, instead of blowing him off and saying, no, I wasn't. So I had to start believing that. Sometimes we identify so closely with an old story, we can't see ourselves clearly. And I was really closely identified with that story of not being enough, so I couldn't see myself very clearly. You know, another story was, if people got to know the true me, they wouldn't want to be friends with me. A story I'd been telling myself for 50 years. Rewriting that story changed it to, well, not everyone will want to be my friend, but there's plenty of people who want to be my friend. So that's the rewrite of the story, that I can't be friends with everyone, and frankly, there's a lot of people I don't want to be friends with either, but there will be some people I want to be friends with. And Chantil Grady says, if your story is that you aren't liked by others, then think about the relationships that you do have, because we're looking for the evidence for our new story. Maybe you don't have the huge social circle you feel you're supposed to have, But what relationships you have in your life have been there for a long time. The evidence shows you do have friends and family who love you. Otherwise, they wouldn't give you their time. So we really need to look closely for evidence that shows that our new story is really true. And so let's do a reflection. We can either get into groups of two and three, or we can do this as just a reflection where we sit and think on it. What would be the preference? How many would like to get in groups? Two? And those of you on Zoom, how many want to get in groups and how many would just prefer to reflect? Groups? Raise your hand if you want to be in groups. Okay, looks like we're doing this as a reflection. Okay, so let's get into our meditative posture. Think about a story that holds you back. Don't go for a traumatic one, just something that keeps you from doing something that you'd like to do. And we're going to go underneath the story and say, what are the actual facts of the story? Really try and pull the facts away from the rest of the story. Facts might be what was said and what was not said. This might be what action actually took place. Once you get down to the bare bones of the facts, what baggage have you or others added on to that story? What was left unsaid in the story that you added in? Did you infer from a tone of voice? Are you sure it was all about you and not all about the other person's suffering. What different interpretations could there be of those facts? How could you tell that story in a different way, whether it's true or not? Come up with two or three different ways you could tell that story. Think, how could I tell myself that story in a more empowering way? A way that's going to encourage me to change what I need to and accept what I can't change. Kind of know what we want our story to be, and we've kind of rewritten what we'd like the next chapter to look like, we often stop there and nothing changes and the old story takes hold. But what we need to do once we rewrite our story is we have to start living our new story. Alex Sally says it's easy to talk ourselves out of doing the work we need to change, period. But becoming who we wish to become in this life requires acknowledging and releasing who we used to be. It calls on us to recognize our patterns and put action behind changing them. And I know that it took me years. No, I had rewritten the story, but it took me a couple of years after rewriting the story to actually put it into action because it was kind of scary. And people might reject me, and you know, it's hard to change those stories. So you have to do something to put it into action. Because just rewriting the story in your head, just like making a New Year's resolution, doesn't produce results. You have to take the steps that align with your new story. So I couldn't just keep telling myself there's plenty of people who want to be friends with me and just wait for somebody to try and friend me. I had to pick up the phone or send a text or send an email and invite people to go to coffee or go to lunch or go for a walk. And I had to do that. And if they didn't the next time pick up and be the one to invite, I had to do it again. And that was the action that was hard to take. But it's the action that you have to take. Carolyn Leaf was interviewing Alex Ellie, and she says, as Alex Ellie notes, affirmations without actions are just words. Taking action is an important part of any healing journey. We cannot just write, I am worthy, I am enough, and think everything will change. We need to take steps to lean into our worthiness and implement actual changes in our life. This kind of work will have a lasting impact in our lives. So there is that, we all have that story of I'm not good enough. How can we lean into the I am good enough? Not just the story that we say in our head, because that's all up here, but how can we embody it? How can we take action? You know, what can we do to help ourselves let go of that story and write the other one. And one of the things I've been doing is, instead of obsessing about grammar and how perfectly written this is, I write this and use it as a guide for talking, and then it gets posted as I write it. Sometimes I'll add a little to it, but I don't go through it because it's good enough. I'm trying to get the content across. I'm not trying to win a writing award. And it's hard for me to do because I know it's not perfect, but it doesn't need to be perfect. And so there's an action where this is good enough. I don't, you know, I told Walt the other day that, you know, I don't show you my mindful moment stuff because you're going to edit it and you're going to, and I don't want that. You know, I'm not looking to be, have it perfect. I don't want it, you know, to be edited and perfected because I don't, that's not a good use of my time. My time is trying to get the message across and to embody the message so I can deliver it. And putting it out there is less important to me, but yet I want it out there because there's some people I know who don't come to this who do go out to my website. And so I want them to see it, but it doesn't need to be perfect. So that's an action of leaning into being enough by doing something that's intentionally not perfect and could be better. But how much better really would it be if it was just a little better written? You know, I don't know, but it's enough. And that's what I'm doing. So a lot of times as we try and take action, like I pick up the phone to call someone, my old story resurfaces. Oh, maybe they're going to be busy. Maybe they won't want to be with me or whatever. And I have to remind myself of my new story. Not everyone's going to want to be my friend, but some will. And so instead of beating myself up about delaying or not making that phone call or whatever action that I know I should be doing or could be doing, I also have to stop and say, it's okay. I know this is hard, and be kind to myself. Put my hand on my heart. Yeah, you don't like picking up the phone, but you're strong enough to do it, so go for it. Instead of beating myself up and saying, thought you were going to do that, and you didn't. So with self-compassion, I can tell myself, this is hard. I am afraid of rejection. And then I can remember the times I did call someone and they were happy that I called. And I can remember all the other people in the world who experienced that same fear that I have. And that I'm strong enough to kind of work, do it in spite of the fear, but there's a lot of people who are not. And then I don't feel so alone, and I feel like I have more courage to live my new story. So when we look closely at our stories, most of them are figments of our imagination. We took all these photographs and put them together and wrote a story about it. Because our memories are not videotapes, they're cameras. And we fill in all the blanks. So what we have to get good at is figuring out what are the photographs, what are the facts of the story, and what did I fill in around those facts? And is that filled in the right way, in an empowering way? Or is that filled in a way that's really going to limit me? And so we continue to look at those stories and make sure that we're not replaying the ones that limit us over and over and over. We investigate what's underneath them, what do I need? We try to let them go over and over and over, hundreds of times. And then we rewrite the story and take some action so that we can live the next chapter of our life and make the next chapter be the one we want it to be and not just a continuation of an old story that really doesn't serve us.